Let me start this morning by asking you a question. What are you chasing after in life? What are you chasing after in life? Is it success? Is it happiness? Is it security? And I wonder if you've ever taken the time to pause and to ask yourself, is what I'm pursuing truly worth my time? Is what I'm doing, is it worth my time? Is it worth my energy? And is it worth my heart? Today, you will see that we are challenged by Paul to focus on our pursuit of something greater. And that something greater is Christ Jesus. Our pursuit should be in Christ Jesus because nothing compares to knowing Him. So let's turn together to Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And if you don't have your Bible this morning, don't feel bad, but look at your neighbors, because your neighbor surely has one that you can look on with. Paul's words this morning remind us that when we pursue anything other than Christ, we risk getting lost in life's distractions. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We risk getting lost in the distractions of life. And can we all agree that the world offers countless directions, countless ways to get what you want, but only a life centered on Christ Jesus brings true purpose and fulfillment? So that means we can chase everything in life and never be satisfied upon receiving it all because we have missed the true purpose of life, and that is to pursue Christ above all else. If I can partially take Tim out of context this morning and to have a little fun, he sometimes doesn't like Stacy. But he loves Stacy because their pursuit is not of each other, but rather their pursuit is on Christ Jesus. So if we pursue Christ, all will come together, all will work out. But if we are pursuing in all the wrong places, we will be left empty and wanting more because we will never find the fulfillment that we need. Amen. Right? Tim and Stacy, I'm sorry. I hope that was okay. All right, let's get into the scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Paul says this, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself," this is Paul, "have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh," Paul says, "I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." So Paul covers a few significant things for us here today, and we're going to kind of dive deep here and look at some of these verses this morning. But what we need to really understand is in this scripture, Paul is showing us the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. There is nothing of greater value than knowing Christ Jesus. Because knowing Christ surpasses everything in life. So Paul starts this segment by telling the Philippians, what does he say? To rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Did we sing worship this morning? Did we rejoice in the Lord this morning? Has He made your life new this morning? Do we have a reason to rejoice? Are we alive? Are we breathing? Have our sins been forgiven? Do we have a reason to rejoice in the Lord every moment of every single day?
Amen.
Yes, we do. So rejoice in the Lord, he says. But then he very quickly moves on. And he says, he warns us, and he warns the Philippians. He's warning the Philippians, but we are warned today also about legalism and false self-confidence. He warns us against these things. Paul warns against those who believed that following religious rituals, like circumcision, was necessary for salvation. It is not, in case you were wondering. They were leading, is what the leaders who were doing this, they were leading others away from the sufficiency of Christ's work. Now, I've said it this way before. I talk about putting a rock. This comes from Kerry Van Kampen. I love this. Literally taking a rock. There's Jesus. Run to him. Oh, there's a boulder in your way now. How are you going to get to him? The religious leaders were taking something that did not need to be in their way to Christ Jesus and putting it there as a prerequisite to get to Christ Jesus, to receive the salvation that is by faith, not by works. There's nothing of my flesh that I can do to receive Christ's salvation. It is by faith, through faith, and will never be anything different than that. Can I get an amen on that this morning? That tells me that there is hope for somebody like me, that it doesn't matter what my performance is, but it is by faith alone that I have received forgiveness of sins and I have a promise and a hope of eternal life. So they were bringing into question the sufficiency of Christ's work through faith by saying, you need to have this done. So that calls into question the work of the cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross if we have to have this? Is what they were doing is they were emphasizing human efforts versus God's grace. They thought it was necessary. And I pray and I hope that we don't take any of our religious beliefs, how we've always done church. By the way, Rochelle, I love her. She's not here. She can't defend herself. You can tell her I said this and we'll talk about it Monday. She'll love it. We have conversations all the time. And when we were talking about doing this promotion Sunday, she's like, well, what about certificates for the kids? And I was like, they don't need certificates. They're going to throw them away. Mom and Dad might keep them. I can promise you, my kids aren't going to keep those certificates. It's a style of, I guess, our parenting. And it challenged me because first she starts by saying, well, we've always done it this way. I hate that. I don't care how we've always done it. So we weren't going to do certificates. But then guess what? I talked to Sherry. Sherry wants to be here. She wants to be part of it. And part of that is the handing over of the certificate. So I say, you know what? We better do certificates for Malin and Caleb. And then Teresa texts me. And she's like, this is Promotion Sunday. What are you doing for Carver and Caden? I was like, they don't need anything. But guess what? They're promoting. And so, doesn't matter what I think. Sometimes it's good to fall into the way we've always done it. But I say all that to say sometimes it's okay to move away from the way we've always done it. Right? And so I pray this morning that none of us will take our preconceived ideas and notions that this is how we've always done worship or this is how we've always done greeting and create for somebody coming into our church seeking the Lord a roadblock that would put a challenge for them to experience the grace of Jesus Christ. It does not matter what I think, but rather it matters, do they believe and have they accepted the work of the cross and are they saved by faith the same way I am?
Amen.
I think everybody knows this, but let's point to it. These are all free notes, by the way. The thief on the cross. He knew church doctrine. He wasn't baptized. He didn't go through a confirmation class. He didn't have a promotion Sunday, did he? What did Jesus say to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. So it does not matter besides faith in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's move on, shall we? So Paul contrasts this false confidence, this if we do this work, we will have confidence in our salvation. Paul actually contrasts this in the flesh by saying the true mark of believers, by saying this in verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worshipped by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. His point is that no matter, no religious act or human achievement, none of that can ever bring us closer to God. Getting a certificate to move on to Sunday schools does not bring them closer to God. Okay? It does not bring us closer to God by doing our works. Our confidence and our identity must be grounded in Jesus Christ alone. It is only in Him and through Him that our identity is found. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that you can do for yourself that should give you any confidence on your relationship with the Lord. Well, I come to church 15 minutes early every Sunday. Doesn't matter. But I sing all the songs. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It is by faith alone. So, and Paul even reinforces this in other verses in the Bible, and we'll look at those right now. So, he's reinforcing this very same idea that it's not by works, but it's by faith. And we find that in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, and it says, "For by grace you have been saved through works or faith." You have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. And it is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. D.L. Moody has a quote, and I've seen it passed around. Maybe one of you shared it this week. But D.L. Moody had a quote that, "I am so glad that we are saved by faith because I don't want to be in heaven hearing everybody brag about the good works they did to get to heaven. Instead, I want to just worship the Lord because we're all saved by grace." The second verse is this, Romans 2, 28 through 29. "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." So there is no greater pursuit than knowing Christ Jesus. If you leave here today thinking anything, you should think pursuit and relationship with Jesus. That is the focus of today. Paul had every reason to boast. We see that here shortly. Paul had every reason to boast in his Jewish heritage and his religious achievement. In fact, in verses 4 through 6, Paul literally gives us his resume. He says, "Here's my resume. Check it out." It says this, "Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." So, in his world, that's an impressive resume. That's the resume you want. Even though he has this impressive resume, he views his accomplishments, he views his resume as worthless. It means nothing. He views his accomplishments, his achievements, all of it is worthless. He uses his own resume, he uses his own life to illustrate the futility of relying on our credentials, on relying on our achievements, on our religious acts, our works for our salvation. And we see it, he goes on to say, all of that is considered worthless. It is worthless. See, Paul challenges us to share in his thinking, to share in the same mindset regarding our abilities, regarding our accomplishments. And it's the powerful statement that he says in verses 7 through 8. If you still got your Bible open, otherwise I'll read it to you. He says this, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." There is nothing worth anything without Christ Jesus. There is nothing in your life worth pursuit without Christ Jesus. You will be left dry, empty, and hopeless every single time. So Paul emphasizes that nothing in this life, there's no achievement, there's no possession, there's no prestige, there's no status, there is nothing that compares to the value of knowing Christ. He goes as far as to call it rubbish. Do you know that in some translations, instead of rubbish, he says they are like dung? This demonstrates the radical nature of his commitment to Christ Jesus. So can you look at everything in your life and consider it rubbish if Jesus isn't part of your life? And if you can't, take some time today at the altar at the end of service. Because the most important thing you can do is pursue Christ above all else. Okay? Paul's ultimate desire is in verse 9. And it's to be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on what? Faith. Doesn't depend on works, it depends on faith. The righteousness we have through faith is a gift from God. Does everybody understand that God gives us grace? It is by faith that we receive that faith, or that grace. It's not earned by our own goodness. That means I can't work for it. It means that I can't be weighed against somebody else's efforts and decided on who gets it. It is only by the goodness of God that we receive His grace. It is through our trusting in Christ Jesus and His finished, complete work on the cross. We have to understand today that our righteousness alone, where does it come from? Christ Jesus. You cannot work for your righteousness. You receive your righteousness through Christ Jesus Himself. And that is supported when we talk about the pursuit of Christ and how works aren't part of it, but we should give up everything or go after Jesus with everything that we have. In Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 46, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field." Because that field and that treasure in that field was worth more than everything that he had. Goes on to say this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." Are you willing to get rid of everything if it means at the end of the day all you have left is Christ Jesus? Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, it says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. So if we're going to boast, we boast in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. Because nothing compares to knowing Christ. Notice how Paul's language here, is it not extremely personal? He literally just gave us his resume and he said, it's all rubbish. I don't care about this. I want to know more of Christ. So this is very personal to Paul. And he's not just talking about theological concepts. He's not talking about the idea of it. He's literally sharing with us his own transformation. Because when he met Christ on the Damascus Road, I think if we go back and we read that, what happens? His life is utterly transformed. He's blinded. He meets Jesus face to face, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? So his life is transformed. It's turned around. It is renewed. He has a new purpose in life. He has experienced grace through Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, his previous pursuits, his status, his knowledge, and his achievements all became meaningless in light of knowing Christ Jesus. If you will, entertain this. His college degree was no longer worth anything. If you went to college and have a degree, raise your hand. What would it mean to you if your college degree meant nothing today? Shocking, isn't it? Paul says none of that matters anymore. Because his personal testimony reminds us that our pursuit of Christ should and will transform our lives, our priorities, and our desires. Paul's life was so changed and impacted by Christ, his desires went from what he wanted to do, what he was chasing in life. By the way, what was Paul doing? He was persecuting the church. He was killing people of the way, followers of Jesus. All of a sudden, his life was completely changed. He no longer desired to persecute the church. He wanted everybody to hear the good news. He wanted everybody to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. Because at that moment, Paul's life was so radically changed that his only desire was more of Christ. And we see that in verse 10. So if you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 10. Paul expresses the deepest desire in verse 10, and it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul seeks to know the power of the resurrection and to share in Christ's sufferings. That seems like a radical idea. But I will submit to you today that knowing Christ isn't just about intellectual understanding. How many of you know we can know Christ but not know Christ? Right? We can know of Christ, but until we have a personal relationship with him, we don't know Christ. Okay? So it's not about our intellectual understanding. It's not about doctrinal knowledge. It has nothing to do with what we know about the church. It's about experiencing his power, his grace in our lives. And it's also about sharing in his sufferings. Would you know today, church, that those are not, they're inseparable. We can't experience the resurrection power without also going through suffering with Christ Jesus. They are hand in hand. They go hand in hand. So the power of Christ's resurrection, it does this. It gives us hope. Right? We talk about it every time we do communion. We remember the past. We remember what he did for us. But what does communion point us towards? His second coming. His soon return to gather the church up. So in Christ's resurrection, we have hope. We find strength. We have victory over sin and death. We know that that victory is soon coming, right? There will be no more pain. This morning, I feel like we had a very good conversation in Sunday school this morning. We played 20 questions, if you will, and we talked about things of the faith. We talked about some challenging questions. The teens had a chance, the adults had a chance, and it was just open forum. And I feel like it was pretty good. And one thing that we understand is that we don't understand, we don't know why good people suffer bad things. We don't know why babies suffer bad things. We don't know why good adults suffer bad things. But here's what we all, I think, can agree, and it's this. It's that when He comes back, we have victory over sin and death. There is no more death. There is no more pain. There is no more tears. There is no more suffering when He comes back. So we have eternal hope. We have a promise of His soon return. But the fellowship of His suffering also reminds us that following Jesus involves hardship, trials, and persecution, which I believe was shared well this morning in Sunday school. So Paul understood that to pursue Christ meant to embrace both His glory and His suffering. I think we can all agree that Paul's got an impressive resume after meeting Christ, and he suffered quite a lot. But I would also submit to you, all of us have experienced our own suffering in some form, shape, or fashion. We've all faced hardship. We've all had things, and we have to remember that while we're going through the suffering, there's the grace of Jesus Christ present. They are not separate, but rather they are together. They are inseparable. And so no matter what hard thing that you are walking right now in life, I need you to hear this. Another freebie, it's not in the notes. His grace is sufficient for you. His presence is enough for you. There is so much truth in that. And until you find yourself in a spot, it's easy for me to say. It's easy. I was talking with Sherry and Gordon before we left for our South Dakota vacation here a couple weeks ago. And I just reminded Gordon, I said, you know, Paul prayed that the thorn would be removed. And God didn't answer his prayer the way he wanted him to. But he answered it, my grace is sufficient for you. We don't know what the thorn in his side was. There's speculation he was crippled or this or that. We don't know. Frankly, it doesn't matter. The point of that is to say that Christ Jesus is enough for you. Amen. Period.
That's right.
It's not Christ Jesus plus your hard work. It is Christ Jesus alone. Period. Okay? So we must understand that if we're going to embrace His grace, His glory, when suffering comes, we have to embrace the suffering as well. And that Romans 6:5, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. And 1 Peter 4:13, it says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Ready? Knowing Christ surpasses everything in life. Period. Knowing Christ surpasses everything else in life. See, in the Christian life, suffering and glory, they are a package deal. And Paul's pursuit of Christ includes both the power of the resurrection and the willingness to share in Christ's suffering. Now, this is a good reminder that pursuing Christ is not always easy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? Pursuing Christ is not easy. Sometimes it costs us something. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. But it's always worth it. It is always worth pursuing Christ. The hope of resurrection is what gives us that strength, especially in the midst of our trials. We know that someday this trial comes to an end and there's victory. See, the hope of resurrection and eternity with Christ is what should encourage us to keep pursuing Christ above all else. In a world that constantly pushes us to chase success, to chase after security, to chase after approval, how often do we actually stop and ask, is what I'm running after truly worth it? Is this pursuit, is this idea worth it? And Paul reminds us that there's only one pursuit that brings lasting fulfillment, and that is knowing Christ. You guys are catching on real quick here. Knowing Christ. So, here's a few things that we can do. Do you know what the first one is? Evaluate what you are pursuing. So we need to take time to evaluate what we are pursuing in life. Are you, like Paul, willing to count everything else as a loss compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ? Are you willing to say it's all rubbish as long as I get to know Christ Jesus? And I would ask you this morning is, what is it that you are pursuing? And does it align with the kingdom of God? That's a question that only you can answer. But I'd like to share with you, imagine a person who spends their whole life climbing the corporate ladder only to... I realize I just coughed right in the microphone, so that's going to sound wonderful on the recording. Only to realize that when they get to the top of the ladder, that they leaned their ladder on the wrong building. Paul is warning us not to spend our lives pursuing the wrong things. What if I only pursued religious acts in the church? It had nothing to do with faith, but it had to do with showing up dressed up for church, and I had my hair done, and I came and I did communion, and I was baptized, and I sang the songs, and I joined in prayer. Those religious acts, you are chasing something that will not bring fulfillment. There is no sharing Christ through religious acts, but only through faith in Jesus. So don't chase after the wrong thing. Don't climb the wrong ladder. The second thing, we need to pursue Christ above all else. We need to pursue Christ above all else. And I hope this morning that you are encouraged to actively pursue Christ. I'm not talking about a passive pursuit of Christ, but an active, which requires what? Work. On whose part? Your part. To actively pursue more of Christ in your life every day. If we just sit by idly and passively, we're never going to see anything happen. Amen. Because our desire just sits here for Christ to do everything and me just to be the recipient of all the good. Joel said it perfectly well this morning in Sunday school. He's talking about wrestling with the Lord in prayer and what that looks like. Sometimes, guess what? We got to wrestle. Sometimes we got to dig deep. Sometimes it costs us some sleep. Sometimes it means we make decisions that we don't want to make because we would rather actively pursue Christ than to chase things in the world that aren't going to make a lick of difference when it comes time to meet Jesus face to face. So, what active pursuit? It requires dedication. It requires you to be dedicated. It requires a willingness to let go of all the lesser things. Are you willing to lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, it doesn't even matter. You are all that matters. And then it also requires an intentional focus on building a deeper relationship with Christ. It means we put in the work. In fact, Christ invites us to pursue Him wholeheartedly and above all earthly desires and ambitions. The last and third thing that we can do is to embrace the resurrection and suffering. Joel, if you want to come on up. The Christian life includes both resurrection power and suffering. And my question for all of us today, myself, is are we willing to embrace both? Or we'd rather just have the resurrection power. I realize that's easier, and I know that question is hard to answer because who wants to willingly say, I want to suffer, right? We might suffer for Christ, but I don't know how many people are signing up to suffer for Christ. Follow what I'm saying here, right? But truly to live a life pursuing Christ above all else means that we embrace both the resurrection power and in His suffering. And you must understand this. A life with Christ will be infinitely better. I did not say your life will be easier. Don't call me tomorrow and say I said it wrong because I didn't. Your life will not be easier with Christ, but it will be a whole lot better. with Christ. Do you follow what I'm saying this morning? Because we will encounter trials. We will encounter hardship. We will encounter pain. We will go through things that don't make a lick of sense. I would submit to you today that these trials will help build your faith and draw you closer to the Lord Jesus. So if you're going through a trial right now, if you're going through something, it just might be your time to pursue Christ above all else. It might be worth spending a couple more minutes on your knees crying out to the Lord. It might be worth wrestling with the Lord. Can you count all of it, all of the things around you as rubbish? And Christ worth it all? Church, there is no greater pursuit than knowing Christ. If you haven't written that down yet, if it's not stuck in your head, it should be. There is nothing greater than knowing Christ. When we count everything as lost, when we pursue Christ above all else, guess what? We will find that engaging our community for Jesus comes easily, and it will flow from the overflow of Jesus in our life. Literally, I desire for this engaging our community, our hearts, our service to others, to come from the overflow of our desire and our relationship with Christ Jesus. Because then it's authentic. Then it's not just church doing work, it's church loving people where they're at, how they're at, and it's the overflow of the Holy Spirit in our lives that will forever touch and change their lives. And so, side note, if you're not part of August 31st, here's what you can do to be part of it. You ready? Pray. Pray that God has set up divine encounters for people's lives to be touched, for people's lives to be changed, because we said we were willing to do the work of engaging our community for Jesus. So pray. Pray for God encounters. When we count everything as lost, when we pursue Christ above all else, that's when everything changes in our life. So let me ask you this morning, will you pursue Christ above all else? Will you pursue Christ above all else? Will you let your life be marked by a passionate desire to know Christ more deeply and to live for His glory? Because, church, nothing compares to knowing Christ. Nothing. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes this morning for just a brief second. It's important to understand this morning that while we pursue Christ in our daily walk, it is not our pursuit that saves us. So, you're thinking works again, if that's what you think. It is not about the pursuit. Because we are justified, which means we are declared righteous by faith in Christ alone. Sanctification, which is the process of becoming more like Christ, follows justification, follows being made righteous by Christ. Our pursuit of Christ is a response to the grace that we've already received through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we grow in holiness, as we walk with Him daily, this is when the pursuit becomes more. But what we must understand, it is through faith in Christ alone that we gain eternal life, that we gain forgiveness of our sins, that we receive salvation. The Bible tells us that all who call on the name of the Lord, what does it say? Will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, I'm speaking to everybody in here, whether this is a first time or this is in a fresh way for you. If you want to confess this morning Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to turn from your sin and invite Him into your life so you can daily start to pursue Him, would you please just raise your hand this morning? And I just want to encourage you, if you are a somewhat new believer this morning, I want to encourage you to remember that as you start your journey to pursue Him, your salvation has already been secured by faith in Him. You are not working for your salvation. It has already been received. Your pursuit, this pursuing Christ above all else, it is a response to the love and grace that He has freely given each and every one of us in here this morning. So church, as we conclude today, and I know we've gone a little bit long, and I thank you for hanging with me and sticking through this, can I ask us to take a few more moments? Can we take a few moments to reflect? Ask yourself this morning, is there anything that I've been pursuing more than Christ? Maybe you're just beginning your journey with Him, or perhaps you feel a need to recommit and refocus on Him. We close every Sunday by saying the altars are open. I promise you, the altar is the best place for you to be. This is your time to come forward. This is your time to pray. This is your time to pursue Christ with all of your heart. As the worship team plays for us, I want to challenge us to lean in. Sure, we can call church done. It is 11:26, I guess. We can all call church done. We can sneak out the doors and go have lunch. Or we can take a few minutes and we can pursue Christ above all else. The decision is yours this morning. But all that I ask of you is to allow time for the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Amen. Thank you.